Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today we're digging into BlackRock's second quarter 2026 numbers. And Jordan, this was a genuinely loud quarter.
Loud is the right word. Record revenue, record operating income, record EPS, all in the same 3 months.
Before we get into it, a quick note. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Good, let's get into it. Revenue came in at $7.1 billion, up 31% year over year. Operating income jumped 39% to $2.9 billion, and EPS hit $13.91.
And the margin story is what jumped out to me. 45.9% operating margin, up 260 basis points from a year ago. That's their best level in almost 5 years.
Right, and CFO Martin Small was pretty clear that 45.9% isn't a ceiling. He pointed out BlackRock ran near 47% margins back in 2021, before they even had the scale in private markets or systematic equities they have now. So there's an argument the runway keeps going.
Let's talk flows, because $192 billion of net inflows in a single quarter is enormous. That's 8% organic base fee growth for the quarter, and over the trailing 12 months, they've pulled in $868 billion with 10% organic base fee growth.
iShares ETFs led the way, $178 billion of inflows, with core equity ETFs at $85 billion and index bond ETFs setting a new record at $61 billion. Active ETFs added another $20 billion, and Larry Fink noted BlackRock has gone from the seventh largest active ETF manager to third largest in just 3 years.
The other big storyline is the HPS and GP integration, the private markets acquisitions that closed about a year ago. Fink said the combination is already delivering above our plans.
The numbers back that up. HPS alone contributed about $230 million in base fees and $115 million in performance fees this quarter. And on the insurance side, Fink talked about converting general account assets. They've got roughly $800 billion of insurance assets on the platform in a higher-yielding private markets allocations. Even a 5 to 10% conversion rate, he said, would be a meaningful lift to average fees.
There was also that data center deal, Align Data Centers, described as the largest data center infrastructure transaction ever announced, bringing together their AIP, GP, and MGX platforms.
That ties into a theme across the whole call. Hyperscalers needing balance sheet partners to build out AI infrastructure, and BlackRock positioning itself as one of the few firms that can show up with both equity and debt capital at scale.
Let's hit tokenization for a second, because Martin Small got pretty specific here. They've filed two SEC registration statements for tokenized money market funds, one a tokenized share class on Ethereum, the other a more digitally native version with features like daily dividend reinvestment.
And the framing was interesting. He called tokenized assets the spear tip into an entirely new distribution channel, pointing to the roughly 5 billion digital wallets globally as a pool of potential new iShares investors. They're also already managing $60 billion in stablecoin reserves for Circle, about a quarter of that market.
On the capital return side, they bumped up guidance, now planning at least $550 million in quarterly share buybacks, higher than what they guided back in January. Combined with the dividend, they're expecting to return over $5.7 billion to shareholders this year, a 16% increase over 2025.
One thing worth flagging for listeners, EPS growth of 15% was actually a bit lower than the 39% operating income growth would suggest. That's because of a higher share count tied to the HPS deal closing, plus lower non-operating income and a higher tax rate this year. Doesn't change the underlying story, but it's why the headline growth rates don't all match up perfectly.
There was also a good exchange on distribution costs. An analyst asked whether platforms like Merrill or Schwab raising fees could squeeze BlackRock's economics. Martin Small was pretty direct. No major U.S. distributor has approached them about tolls on index ETFs, and he argued BlackRock's scale actually gives them leverage rather than exposure there.
And on private credit, Fink addressed the elephant in the room, all the headlines about stress in that market. He said they're not seeing real change in credit quality or payment performance across their private investments, and that spreads widening has actually created better entry points for deployment.
So what does this all mean going forward? The core takeaway is that BlackRock is leaning hard into being what they call a whole portfolio partner, public markets, private markets, and technology, all on one platform, and the flows data suggests clients are buying into that pitch.
The margin expansion story is the one to watch. If they're right that structural growers like private markets, active ETFs, and SMAs keep pulling the fee rate and margin higher, that's a multi-year tailwind, not a one-quarter blip. Two consecutive years of above-target organic growth is the evidence they point to.
Before we wrap, one more required note. Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
With AUM now at a record $15.3 trillion and management sounding about as confident as we've heard them, all eyes turn to whether the private markets flywheel and the margin story keep compounding into the back half of the year.
That's it for this episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.